From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. It's Wednesday, October 7th. Coming up, among the many people adjusting to a new normal during the pandemic are school bus drivers. We'll check in with drivers in Rockford to see how they're handling COVID-19. But first, these headlines. A legislative committee looking into the relationship between longtime Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan and Commonwealth Edison won't meet again until after the November 3rd election. The delay announced by a top Democrat yesterday has upset Republicans who initiated the investigation. Hannah Meisel reports.
In July, Madigan was identified as Public Official A in a federal investigation into ComEd's lobbying practices. Republicans, a superminority in the Illinois legislature, have been re-energized by the federal disclosure that ComEd gave jobs and made payments to Madigan allies in an attempt to curry favor with the speaker. With Madigan declining to explain himself to the committee, Republican Representative Grant Worley of Naperville appealed to Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday.
Governor, you hold the most powerful office in the state of Illinois. Use it. Get answers. We all deserve them. We're being stonewalled. We're basically being lied to in order to protect one man, Public Official A.
Pritzker has urged Madigan to explain himself, but has not endorsed Republicans' attempt to subpoena the speaker. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Tuesday was the deadline to apply to vote by mail in Illinois. People housed in county jails who haven't been convicted of a crime but are awaiting trial are eligible to vote. But 2020 is the first year county jails in Illinois are mandated to offer a vote by mail system. Jason Edgecombe is the LaSalle County Jail Superintendent.
So it doesn't matter necessarily what your charge is, but if you're sentenced to DOC or the county jail, then you're not eligible to place your vote, was pretty much my best understanding, which was an eye-opener for me because that actually is quite a few people then that we house here that become eligible.
Some counties already had processes in place, but this is LaSalle County's first time offering vote by mail. Edgecombe says they've also tried to help people get applications who are registered in different counties or even different states. Vistra Energy announced it would close its remaining coal-fired power plants in Illinois within the next decade as a move toward clean energy. But as Illinois Newsroom's Lesha Bushak reports, challenges remain when it comes to redeveloping the sites.
Companies aren't always required to remediate or clean up coal-fired power plants for surrounding communities after they're shut down. But environmental groups hope the latest shutdown plants will be redeveloped into spaces for clean energy, says Amanda Pankaw with Prairie Rivers Network.
Vistra's now also saying they might redevelop some of the sites into solar or battery storage. So that might lead to kind of a different course of events than what we've been seeing with some of these sites where they sat there for almost a decade now.
But Vistra has yet to make any concrete plans to redevelop the sites. And despite plant closures, coal ash pollution often remains on site, leading to groundwater contamination. I'm Lesha Bushak, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County reported 35 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The county's total is now more than 5,000. 364 of those cases are active, with two people hospitalized. Officials on the University of Illinois Urbana campus reported 48 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, a big jump from just 7 cases the day before. The positivity rate for tests conducted on Monday was 0.43%, and the rolling 7-day positivity rate rose slightly to 0.30%. Still to come, we head north to Rockford to see how school bus drivers in that city are adjusting to the COVID-19 pandemic. That's next on 217 Today.
Hey, this is Eunice Alpasan, engagement producer for The 21st. You can help shape our news coverage. Here's how it works. Just text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We'll send you weekly questions on issues affecting Illinois. We might even mention your answers on the 21st. Text TALK to 217-803-0730 and join the conversation.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. As COVID-19 positivity rates in Rockford continue to rise, school bus drivers are dealing with their new normal. Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco has more.
Katina Barnett is president of the School Bus Drivers Union Local 1275 in Rockford.
How's it been going so far?
It's been quite busy, without a doubt, very busy. Things have transpired from COVID taking out an entire world to people being laid off from their job and the world coming to a standstill.
The Rockford Public School District has a hybrid learning model so far this year, meaning some students are doing in-person classes. She says being a school bus driver during a pandemic is stressful.
Like this morning, I had 6 students that came to the bus stop, didn't have their mask on, had to dig it out of their book bag. And then I had a couple of them that didn't have a mask at all, even in their book bags.
Barnett says she's used to being the fun bus driver, but she also knows the new safety policies are necessary.
You know, it's an ongoing battle for them. I really feel bad that they have to do it.
In the past, Barnett would reward the kids on Fridays by letting them pick where they wanted to sit for the day. Not anymore.
We have contact tracing, so they have to stay in their assigned seat. They have to sit with their sibling. So now you have a 5th grader sitting with his kindergarten sister. You know, he's frustrated because he wants to be with his equal, his peers. And she's looking at him like, why do I even have to sit with you? I don't like you. You're my brother.
Barnett says not all the new protocols make sense to her.
This particular year, they want us to wait till all the schools have ran for that morning, then clean the seats and wipe them down. I don't know if I agree or disagree with that one, because you're taking on 15, 20 kids per route, and then you're doing 3 schools. So now you put 60 kids without cleaning seats in between. I don't know if I agree or disagree. I guess that's not my decision.
But there's one policy that Barnett says really frustrates her.
One of the things that the district has incorporated that if little Susie's not assigned to your route, we can't take her. When years pass, if she wasn't assigned to your route and she went to your school, we take her in. And then we'll get her information. That way she's not left on a corner in a danger zone.
But in order to comply with COVID tracing, bus drivers now have to leave the child on the corner and call in another bus. Barnett says she understands the need for safety, but can't help but feel heartbroken.
Well, I can't even imagine what in the mindset of the child is to know that he's being left on the corner to wait for another ride to come pick him up because he can't be properly traced. And it's very frustrating.
The district's transportation department has confirmed these safety guidelines, but says that a case of children being left to wait for a new ride has only happened a handful of times. The changes have also affected the paychecks of bus drivers. Barnett says she still remembers finding out the schools would close back in March. It was the Friday before spring break, and over the dispatch radio she heard,
"Hey, by the way, we're not coming back over spring break. We're getting ready to get shut down." What? Even as union president, I was like, what's going on?
See, these are drivers that have health insurance, they have benefits, they have a pension. So in March, when all of this broke out, our focus was keeping our members employed.
That's Sarah Dorner, a union rep for the School Bus Drivers Union and the vice president of Rockford United Labor. She says that eventually the school board approved paying bus drivers their base pay through the end of the school year. But that was just the beginning.
So school support workers who are employed by a school system in Illinois do not typically qualify for unemployment during the summer.
And that's when it occurred to Barnett.
What do we do? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we said, let's see if we can get unemployment for the first time ever. Everybody else is doing it under COVID. Why not?
Dorner says that's when she and the union began calling every lawmaker they could, because suddenly some 750 school support staff were about to be without work and without access to unemployment. They finally heard back at the end of May that yes, school support staff could file for unemployment for at least the summer of 2020. But the way things are going in Winnebago County, Barnett is worried about her coworkers. What with the rising number of COVID-19 cases, which may threaten in-person learning.
And so, Katina, let's say they close down again, right? Maybe they don't make it past November. Do the bus drivers still have a way to get paid? You know, can they pay their bills?
I will never stop fighting for them. Never.
I will always fight for them to continue to get paid, because without these guys, this system doesn't work.
For now, her plan is to continue waking up each morning and getting behind the wheel to make sure she gets the students she cares about from point A to point B as safely as possible. I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Peter Medlin, Lesha Bushak, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.